And welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And today we're doing episode 30, the big 3-0, Jeremy.
Yes.
We made it that far.
Yes. And we are getting ready to do our fourth installment of our werewolf extravaganza.
Extravaganza.
Ooh.
Tony Danza extravaganza.
If Tony Danza was a werewolf, which he might be.
I think he is.
You think he is?
Yes.
Where Danza?
Yeah, he's an Italian werewolf that likes to tap dance.
That makes sense.
Yeah. But
we are doing Frankenstein Meets the Wolfman.
And that doesn't have Tony Danza in it at all.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, yeah.
So just to give a little background on this movie. This movie, it's the second in the series of like the... that Wolfman series from Universal Movies, the old Universal Monster movies.
Yeah, this is the oldest movie I think we've
it done is. It is.
In our podcast.
So the odd thing with it, though, it's the second in the Wolfman series, but it's actually the fifth movie in the Frankenstein series of Frankenstein's monster stories.
Okay.
And so it's kind of a weird spot for us, but we thought... You know, it's a second in there. We might as well do it. Not a lot of wolf movies get a sequel.
There are not a lot of sequel wolf movies,
no.
You would say.
Yeah, there's not, usually.
Yeah.
Because for the most part...
When they are, werewolves they are terrible. Get
killed. Yeah, for the most part, because the werewolf dies.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to have the sympathy for that character, so that's usually what you get.
So. Yeah. Did you say there was supposed to be a silver bullet, too?
There was supposed to be a silver bullet, too, and they kept coming back to it, and it just never manifested.
There's supposed to be a dog soldiers,
there
too?
There was going to be a dog soldiers, too. I think, like, in 2006, they...
I love that movie.
...have been talking about it, and things kept falling through. And then eventually, they even put out a poster, like, in 2013, I think it was, saying, Dog Soldiers 2, coming 2014. It was, like, Dog Soldiers... I don't know what it was called. Like,
yeah.
When.
So basically, we're saying that there are not a lot of sequels with werewolves.
Yes.
So we did find this one, which is a sequel to Wolfman, which is also a sequel to the fifth Frankenstein movie.
Yeah, it's the fifth in the Frankenstein movie series.
But the second.
The Frankenstein.
So it counts, one, sort of.
Yes, it's on that. It's borderline. This goes back to, and we've talked about this before. You know, is Iron Man 2, you know, the second in the Iron Man series, or is it? So this one's dangerously borderline for what our rules are, but
sure,
we're taking it. So
we'll take it.
It's the sequel to Wolfman from the Wolfman standpoint, and the one that preceded from the Frankenstein movies is.
The Ghost?
Ghost of Frankenstein.
The Ghost of Frankenstein? Okay.
Yes.
It's pronounced Frankenstein.
So, little backstory. I thought this was interesting on the Frankenstein front. So, the Ghost of Frankenstein, they come back and it's like Dr. Frankenstein's ghost who is trying to tell them to how he can improve or like fix the monster. And so... a bunch of stuff happens, but in the end, Igor, played by Bela Lugosi, gives him, like, a transfusion of his blood or something like that.
Okay.
And it ends up making the monster deaf and blind, which is why he's...
And he can play a mean pinball.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure plays a mean pinball.
pinball.
He's a pinball monster.
He has to be a twist. A pinball wizard got such a... Okay, go ahead.
So,
how do you think he does it?
I don't know.
What makes him so good? Pinball. All right.
So...
Enough of that.
So they approach from that. This is kind of where you get some of the... Frankenstein's monster walking with his arms always in front of him. Like, he really played that
up. So that really wasn't a trope until this movie? you would say?
Yeah, not like full on. Like full it, on. Yeah. This had a lot to do with the walk, from what I understand, that like arm straight
now,
out.
Bela Lugosi is playing Frankenstein in this movie, but who played Frankenstein in those movies? Because you said Bela Lugosi was...
Boris Karloff.
Boris Karloff.
But Boris Karloff did it. I thought Lon Chaney... did it, but know. I'm not 100% sure on that.
Lon Chaney's playing the Wolfman in this movie.
Yes, he is. And actually, they were going to have him play both the Wolfman and Frankenstein's monster.
That would have been great.
But they were like, oh my God, because the filming would have been difficult because they have to be on screen together.
The makeup would have been...
And the makeup would have been hard to do, and it would have cost them a lot. So they were like, oh, fine. So they got Bela Lugosi, who was under contract to do... the monster, which he was probably my least favorite monster.
I'm going to tell you, not a fan of Bela Lugosi's Frankenstein. If this is his only time doing Frankenstein, it should have been.
I don't know if it is or not for sure, but whatever. I like him in other things, but I was not big of a fan here for that.
It took him 5 months to memorize his lines.
He originally had lines, but they cut them all.
Yeah, they cut them, right?
So he just basically is making faces the whole time. Bela Lugosi looking faces. All right. So
let's drop this thing.
Let's drop it.
Enough of us. Let's drop it.
Yes. So we open on a man mixing chemicals, which make smoke. So it's just like
the title card.
Yeah. Beakers and test tubes. And they're pouring chemicals together and you see the smoke roll out.
Ooh.
And the smoke makes the title card. So
actually, that was kind of cool. The smoke and the title cards.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty inventive.
It was like cool for you.
Yep. Frankenstein meets the Wolfman.
How do they do that?
I think it was just a title card that they phased in. But
it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. We cut to a cemetery, which is under the full moon, and it's got the whole nine yards. Dead leaves blowing around, gnarled trees.
And Bruce Willis. Wasn't he in the whole nine yards?
He was.
Okay.
Yeah. Amanda Pete Moss. but it has like the crooked tombstones, and there's just ravens just squawking all the time.
Oh, that's a raven.
That
I saw
so
that raven.
So two men with lanterns make their way into the crypt of the Talbots. So the Talbot family.
Yeah, Talbots. Yeah.
Yeah. And of course they find Lawrence Talbot's tomb.
Yeah.
Lawrence Talbot being the Wolfman.
Can't he go by Larry? Hey, Larry Talbot.
Larry Talbot.
Doesn't Larry Talbot sound like a vice principal name?
Yeah.
Dr. Larry Talbot.
Or like he's the phys ed teacher who teaches, teaches driver's ed on the weekends.
Yeah, there you go.
Larry Talbot. But Lawrence Talbot, they go to his tomb and start chiseling at the lid to get it open. So they basically say that there's this rumor that Lawrence Talbot was buried with a bunch of money. And so they are going
I was wondering what they were doing. Why go in his grave?
Yeah, they said that it was rumored that they gave him his money. Yeah.
Lawrence Talbot.
And they're like,
R.I.P.
And they were like, why would they do that? That could help so many people. And are like trying to break in.
I love when the guy went,
R.I.P.
Yeah. Like when he did that? I thought that was funny.
So the lid is removed to find the tomb is just filled with piles and piles of wolf's mane. He's got the wolf's mane there. Obviously, it's been there trying to preserve his body or trying to stop him from changing. But he looks like he's not decomposed at all. He's not, disintegrated. He looks in perfect condition. And they even comment, it just looks like he's sleeping.
Yeah. He looks like Paul Douglas. There was times where Lon Chaney, I was like, he looks like Paul Douglas.
Yeah.
From The Letter of the Three Wives.
Yes.
That movie?
Yeah. He does a lot of similarities.
Yeah, so he's got that very broad shoulder.
Yeah, and
Lon
that
Chaney,
kind of like
the
strong
jawline.
Yeah. So Talbot's body is in perfect condition after all this time, and one of the two grave robber guys removes a silver ring off his finger. Just then, you see Talbot's hand come up, and it's got like claws on it, and grabs the grave robber's arm, Of course, the grave robber goes, "It's got me." And he starts pleading for his friend to help him.
Right.
Of course, his friend drops his lantern and this fire breaks out. And then he just runs away and leaves his friend there.
Sure.
So,
yeah, the fire breaks out.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, but they come back. Never mind. We'll talk about that. Yeah.
So, later, a police officer finds a man lying in the street. Turns out it's Talbot. He's got this big head wound that's bleeding, so they call for...
A drunken Benger, right?
Yes, that's what
it was. A Lon Chaney drunken Benger?
Yeah, Bender, yeah.
Bender?
Yeah.
What is it, Benger?
Binger.
Yeah, whatever.
The constable calls for help right away.
That's where you watch shows of people drinking on Netflix. You binge.
A Binger? That's true.
That's what I meant.
So the constable calls for help. Now we cut to a hospital.
Queen's Hospital.
Yeah. To Queen's Hospital, where a nurse informs Dr. I kept writing Manning. It's Mannering.
Oh, Mannering?
So if I say it the wrong thing.
No, that's fine.
I mean Chet Manning. So.
It's Mannering, though.
Yeah, it's Mannering.
Played by?
Patrick Knowles.
Patrick Knowles, who was in the first movie as a different character. Did you know that?
I did not.
I looked that one up, yeah.
Yeah.
What character? I don't know. I just knew he was in the first one. I looked him up, like, and it said that he was in the original Wolfman.
Yeah. You know, and we can get this a little bit, too, but I honestly... Out of all the Universal Monster movies, like, this one was, when I was younger, it was way down the chain of movies that interested me.
The character or the movie, this movie?
No, like, the Wolfman himself. Like, okay. I was always like, eh. But I think as time has gone on,
more of a grown-up kind of monster where you're like, you feel pity for him. You're like, poor guy.
Yeah, because he's got this tragic...
Yeah.
Tragic aspect.
When you're younger, you don't give a shit about that.
Right. You know, I don't... I was like, oh, he just walks around and does whatever. Versus, like, you know, Frankenstein's monster or whatever. You get to see a lot more of them. So the nurse informs Dr. Mannering that the patient is awake. And it's Talbot. Talbot informs Mannering and the Inspector Owen, who he is, but couldn't remember exactly what had happened or how he had gotten... to Cardiff, where he is.
Yeah, he's in Cardiff, right?
Cardiff. Yes.
Cardiff.
I'm surprised Torchwood didn't get called
Cardiff.
In. Cardiff. Owen. Inspector Owen. So Mannering informs him that he's in Queen's Hospital in Cardiff. And, of course, Inspector Owen. Goes to... check up on his story.
It is Inspector Owen. That's funny.
Yeah, right?
Owen.
So he goes to check up on his story. And, of course, he joins up with Mannering. While he's checking around, he calls to the town where Talbot was from. They inform the inspector that Talbot died.
Oh, yeah. He's been dead for, like, 3 years?
4 years.
Four or 3 years?
Yeah. So he's been dead 4 years, and his body never decomposed during all of that.
He says, "I know. I was at the funeral."
Yeah. He goes... He's like, "Well, if you have him there, that's crazy because he died and I was at the funeral, so I know that."
Now, have you seen the first movie?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Was there a funeral? Or is it just...
That was after,
though. It was just exposition.
Yeah, it was exposition. Owen wants to question him, but Mannering says no. Like, obviously something's wrong with him, so we're not going to question him. We're not doing that yet. I'm his doctor. I get to say what we do. That night... Talbot's in bed recuperating when the full moon comes out.
Okay, so this is the next night.
Yeah.
There's another full moon?
Okay, so there was a full moon.
Do I not know the moon cycles all of a sudden?
There's a full moon. He attacks the guy at the cemetery, right?
Right.
But then he travels all the way from there to Cardiff, I assume by foot.
Okay, maybe.
So that has to give it more time.
We don't really know how he gets to Cardiff.
No, we never established that. We assume he just wolfs his way there.
Right.
But I assumed it was the next day, but maybe not. I don't know.
I think he got an Uber with, like, a gypsy, and they went to Cardiff.
What's that called?
What? The Uber with a gypsy?
Yeah.
No clue. What is it called?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Why are you looking at me like I should have a joke?
He called the gypsy cab.
They called the gypsy cab. Oh.
Yay. Ta-da. Anyways,
you
were
looking at me like I had a joke. I was just, no, it was an observation.
I was hoping you would come up with an answer.
Oh, well, gotcha. Okay.
I was excited to hear what this gypsy Uber was called.
Gypsy cab.
Yeah. I like gypsy cab. I'm going with it. So he took his gypsy cab there. anyway, that night, the full moon comes out because it may or may not be the full lunar cycle. We just may have had a bunch of full moons that day.
I just don't know how he got there. That's just the confusing part. But yeah. Okay, I'm on the ride.
Yeah. So a constable, Talbot transforms into the Wolfman that night. And basically, you see his eyes darting around.
And this
everything.
Is the first time I've seen this makeup.
Yeah.
Besides, like, seeing clips. I mean, like, in a movie when you're watching a movie.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this makeup.
Yeah.
For 70 years, because this movie's about, like, 70-some years old.
Yeah, it's 74 years
old.
It's
pretty good makeup.
Yeah.
It's better makeup than a 30-year-old CGI from American Werewolf in Paris.
Agreed.
Very much so.
And I have to say, you know what does it for me a lot of times, with like especially with the Wolfman makeup, is that the way they have it around the eyes, it looks very good. Like sometimes you see movies where like they don't do such great detail around the eye parts of it, and it really makes it look like just a rubber scary mask.
Okay.
And
yeah.
This one, like they do great detail around it.
I think so too.
And it's like when his eyes move, they're very emotive too. I mean, that's partially Lon Chaney doing that, but also the makeup helps enhance that. So I really like that.
Yeah.
So a constable is patrolling when he hears something in an alley, and he goes to examine it. So the Wolfman jumps him from behind and begins violently tearing at the officer's neck. I was afraid to say this line because I thought you were going to give me a phrasing. No?
No, go ahead.
No, okay. So he's tearing at the officer's neck.
Phrasing.
Not even the Wolfman.
Well, I didn't know you were going to say that.
The Wolfman jumps him from behind.
Okay, yeah, phrasing.
Okay. And bites his neck.
Phrasing.
Drags him down the alley.
Oh, that one I'm okay with.
That's all right.
Yeah, that one's okay.
So the next morning.
Phrasing.
What?
Okay, sorry. Keep going.
So the next morning, the nurse, she's found Talbot's bandage across the room, and the window was open.
He just had that one bandage.
His head bandage?
Just that one head bandage. That's the only thing.
He set it down gingerly on the...
I turned into a wolf. I wolfed out. Let me just send it down gingerly.
I love how we use the term... I actually was trying to refrain from using the term wolfed out.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of Teen Wolf so much. Yeah. Can I also say...
I mean, this is a fine movie. There's cheesy elements.
Yes.
I mean, for the time.
Yeah.
You know, but
can
ahead.
I also say that the makeup in this, way better than Teen Wolf 2?
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah. It's way better.
Agree.
Much more effective. Anyway, so the nurse found the bandage across the room. The window was open. And Talbot is, like, laid out across his bed.
Phrasing.
Sorry. He's laying across his bed with his ass up in the air.
Perfect.
And so, but he is. He just looks like he just passed out on his
bed. Yeah, another Lon Chaney drunken night.
Correct. So the nurse gets Talbot back into bed, and Mannering reapplies his bandage. Talbot asks him to call the police because he's killed somebody. And Mannering, of course, says, well, that's not possible. There was somebody killed, but he was killed by an animal. And, of course, Talbot says, that's me. I did that. But the doctor dismisses it as part of, you know, just being part of his head trauma that he's hallucinating.
Right.
I keep wondering too what that gash on his head, because it comes up more than once, but we don't know where he got it necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just like wondering what that was.
No clue.
So the inspector shows up asking for Talbot's real name again. Talbot again says he's the wolf, and informs Owen that he needs to be arrested. Of course, Inspector Owen dismisses it. But Talbot says, talk to Maliva. Maliva, the gypsy, who was in the first movie. Basically, she was a gypsy who talked about his curse. And
so this is it the same actress?
I think so.
Okay, that's in this movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's Maria Uspenskaya.
Okay.
Is her name? But Maliva in the first one, her son was the wolf who originally bit Talbot. So.
Okay, who played her son in that? Claude Rains?
I think.
Okay, maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. I know Claude Rains was in the first one, okay. But it's been so long. So they say to talk to Maliva. Or go to my grave and take a look. Of course, they dismiss it at first, and he starts struggling, and they end up restraining him and putting him in a straitjacket. In Dr. Mannering's office, he explains some pretty heavy-duty science to us here.
Oh, very much so.
Very solid science.
Solid. Spot on. I mean, way before its time.
Yes, so he talks to Inspector Owen and tells him, Talbot experienced those murders psychically. Because sometimes people with brain trauma have extrasensory abilities. Duh. Every first-year resident knows that.
Yeah, duh.
So, I don't know where that came from, but, yeah. I was like, that's kind of a weird... And he, like, takes a book out. Like, a book...
Yeah.
Some sort of medical book. I assume it was there, but...
I've been studying this theory for years.
That's so weird. We were just like, what?
And he just thinks about the murder. He doesn't really do it.
We had to listen to it again. He was getting it psychically. We had to listen to it again.
Yeah.
But the inspector says, look, he should probably be behind bars if he's dangerous.
Oh, no. Not guilty.
No.
By psychic
murder. Yeah. But Mannering says, look, he's not well. He's in my charge, so he stays here. Owen takes some men. And Mannering follows, and they go to Talbot's grave. So they get there, and Lawrence's body is missing. But there's a dead grave robber on the ground still, of course.
But there's no, like, burn damage from...
No.
I didn't think of that before.
Yeah.
But then when you were like...
It's all stone and whatever. The only thing I had to burn was the grave
robber,
I guess.
There's all that hay and ground and stuff. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't much
damage.
There
wasn't that much burn damage. And it's not like someone was all like, ooh, I think the grave is on fire.
Yeah. Well, they said, they were like, well, what killed the grave robber? And I was thinking maybe he burned up.
Right.
But he didn't. He had his throat torn out by the wolf. And so, and there's some great, like, Dutch angle shots while they were talking about, like, what is it? What happened? And it's kind of suspenseful. The constable from this town informs them, oh yeah, it's just like some wolf attacks that we had like 4 years ago.
Oh yeah.
And which Mannering is like, huh, okay.
Okay, thanks.
Seems to start corroborating Talbot's story. The constable says, yeah, we had all these wolf attacks. John Talbot thought that he got the wolf. But he accidentally shot Lawrence Talbot, and that's how Lawrence Talbot died.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, so they...
So he's given us the exposition.
He is, yeah. And then when they asked to talk about it, he said, well, John Talbot's... Or can we talk to John Talbot? He goes, well, he died shortly after from being grief-stricken, so...
Okay.
He died, so he's buried in the tomb as well. So it seems to give some credence to Lawrence Talbot's story
mm-hmm.
at this point. So they go back to the station because they want to get a picture of Lawrence Talbot to see if they look alike. And
he gives that's where he makes
the picture, and it
call.
Is like identical.
Yeah.
And so
this guy looks like Paul Douglas.
So the inspector says, "Well, God, if this isn't him, it's." Very, very strikingly similar. Like,
right.
Are we sure it's not? And they said, well, you know what? Maybe we should follow up on this Maliva lead. And so they're going to check in Maliva. So they ask him if they can, you know, what gypsies do you have? Like, do you have any records of this person being here? So they're checking into it. In the meantime, Mannering
says... Sure, let me get my gypsy records out. Hold on.
He says, oh, we keep records on all of them that come through.
I know. That's why I said, let me get my gypsy records out.
There you go.
Maliva.
Who do you keep track of?
Gypsy tramps,
that Sally Field was hawking? Maliva?
Yeah, oh. That's the stuff, I think.
Oh, no, it's Boniva.
That's Maliva's granddaughter, Boniva. So Mannering decides he's going to call back in and check up on how Talbot is doing. Because he's only a patient, apparently.
Right, so he calls on the phone.
Yeah, he calls. And there's this great, like, you know, especially, like, I think have trouble with doing, like, the phone. Like, obviously, we can't hear what's happening on the other end of it. And so you have to express what's going. People usually either say things too fast or...
Yeah.
He gets this pained expression on his face. So I was like, oops, something happened. And obviously he's in his head is hearing the dialogue portion of it. So it was great how he did the expressions with it and how the actor...
Jeremy, that was a real phone call. You didn't know that?
No, I didn't.
Oh, no, yeah.
But no, I mean, I thought it was good. I thought he did a good job with that.
Yeah, it was a real phone call.
But it turns out Talbot somehow got out of his straitjacket and escaped.
Did he chew out of it?
He shredded it somehow. Yeah. Somehow, because it was another full moon.
Oh, okay. Again.
He shredded
how long? What is a moon cycle? 29 days?
Like 28 days from full moon to full moon. But, like, it's not definitely not 3 days in a row.
I know, but it's not 29 days later.
But, okay, so, no, but this gives, this gives a perfect.
At least a little time frame for it.
Yeah, so it was a full moon when he was at the cemetery before. And then he travels all the way to Cardiff where it's a full moon again.
Right.
And then they
had to
travel.
It's always a full moon in Cardiff.
They had to travel the next day.
Yeah.
All the way from there back from Cardiff back to the original, like, to the cemetery.
Right.
Which, so then if it's another 28 days between here and there.
It took 28 days to get to Cardiff?
I don't
from
know.
Cardiff to wherever the hell they're at?
I don't know.
I don't know.
But it could have been, maybe, if they're taking a while.
And maybe. I don't know, but it just seems really, like, convenient.
It does. It's very convenient.
Like, plot convenience.
Yeah. I don't think it's supposed to actually be 28
right.
days in this, at least. But, you know, just trying to establish something.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, you know, thank God.
So he's
and I'm not
fled.
Trying to discredit this movie. I'm just saying that in these werewolf movies, it always seems very convenient.
I think
that's always a full moon.
I think which is part of the problem with I think with the Wolfman, like
with wolf movies in general.
Yeah, with Dracula, it's dark every night.
Right.
Right. Or like with vampires, like even hell, 30 days of night. You know, where it's dark for long periods
right.
of time. You have that. You know, but Wolfman, a werewolf, you know, if it goes by the full moon, can only come out so often.
Sure.
So we now see Talbot again. So he has traveled all over Europe looking for Maliva. So he's been going from town to town, he says, trying to find her. So he manages to track her down, finally. So he says, look, you know, your son is the one who turned me, and you stayed with him, until he died, like when they shot him. So, now, you know, I want you to, you know, I want to die. It's my turn. I don't want to be alive again or keep coming back. And she swears to him that she'll protect him and she's going to stay with him. So she leaves the rest of this roving band of gypsies then
right.
to take off.
He needs my help.
Yeah. And so yes. she's his little buddy now.
And so now it becomes a, like, buddy cop movie?
Yes. stop her, my old gypsy woman will shoot.
It's the gypsy and the werewolf. Coming soon to ABC Family.
So now, Maliva and Talbot travel to Wasaria, because she's got a plan. So they travel all this way.
Yeah, on a nice wagon trail.
Yeah, and several days and nights, so, you know, time is passing. They enter into this lodge looking for Dr. Frankenstein.
Yeah.
The innkeeper, who is a douchebag with a capital D.
Yeah, with a douchebag mustache with a capital M.
He's got like this handlebar mustache. Yeah. Whatever. The guy, seriously, he's a dick.
Yeah.
Like he's
most people with a handlebar mustache are dicks.
Ooh, damn. He's, to me, he's more of the villain than of the piece than anything.
Kind of, especially at the end.
Yeah. So they go there and the proprietor says, where's Dr. Frankenstein? And shows the castle and says, it burnt down and he died in that fire. You know, so that's where he is. He brought nothing but pain on us. He's been a curse to our town. And if you're looking for him, you need to get out of here. And of course, Talbot is upset because that was his only hope for getting out of this. So he's starting to fall into despair.
Can he ask Obi-Wan? Thanks, Obi-Wan. You're my only hope.
Yes. Help me, Obi. Help me, Bela Lugosi. You're my only hope. Maleva, of course, thanks the innkeeper very respectfully, and the man. Is like shitty to Talbot. It's like, come on, get up, go. I think his name is Vasek. It's like, get up.
Like the pickle?
No, that's Vlasic.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry.
So he says, tells him to get up and go. And of course, Talbot then slaps the drinks out of his hands and basically was getting ready to, you know, because he's freaking out.
Well, if he can't drink, no one can.
And so, but Maleva calms him down and they leave. Maleva and Talbot continue their journey, but of course it turns into the full moon again because they've been journeying for several days, like 28 days.
So Harold and Maude are traveling. Yes.
So Talbot realizes he's changing, and Maleva just kind of like watches him nonchalantly until he decides to run away.
I know.
She's just like, changing, are ya?
No.
Just watches it.
No. Come back.
And of course, Maleva pursues him, begging him not to go, but he transforms when he's in the woods. So we cut back to the town, and we see the innkeeper just walking through the town with a dead young girl in his arms.
Yeah. Like, how old was that girl? Because I was like, whoa. Now,
yeah.
Now...
She was like, what was she, like 12?
Yeah, I was like, okay, that doesn't happen that often in movies, where like a kid gets killed like that.
Yeah.
Especially in a movie like this. That, I thought, was like really creepy.
Well, and considering, too, like these movies, I think, went to like a wide audience. I think kids ended up seeing this a lot, too, so it's probably to scare them and scare everybody else.
I guess, but that's freaky.
So, of course, the townspeople start speculating whether or not it's Frankenstein's monster.
Right.
Or
he's,
what it is.
The monster's back. No.
The monster. Oh, it's the monster. Is he back? And, of course, the constable says no. It was an animal attack. And when the townsperson asks what kind of animal was it?
Yeah, what kind of animal? That sounds like a werewolf.
They were like, they said it was like a wolf. And then you hear the wolf cry in the background. And he goes, that was the cry of the wolf.
Sure was.
So angry villagers decide. They're like, you know what? We're wasting our angry villager talents. Like, the monster isn't here anymore.
Ah, it's been a couple years.
Yeah.
Let's go at it.
Let's go after the wolf.
Do it.
Let's do it. Come on.
Come on. So, we got these pitchforks for nothing?
Yeah. These citronella
torches. We bought them. They've been sitting collecting dust in our... you know, yards for nothing?
Yeah.
We've been using them.
These citronella torches.
Come on. Let's go. Yeah. Where are we at? What's the city?
I think it's Wasseria.
Yeah, make Wasseria great again. Woo, yeah.
We're tearing down statues of Frankenstein.
Down. Let's go.
Dr. Frankenstein.
Now, isn't that where the Desperate Housewives were from?
No. I think that's...
Wisteria? Wasteria. Not the... You said the...
Yeah, I think
Listeria?
It's Vasseria.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Listeria?
Listeria is like something else. What is that?
I think it's like a disease. Or
oh,
some
no. We don't want that. Let's get going. Keep going.
So.
Woo! Pitchforks! Woo!
So they chase him down through the woods. And he's running around, of course, and he's, you know, managing to stay ahead of him.
Right.
Finally, somebody breaks out the rifle and fires at him, and it looks like he gets shot. But when they run up to where he was, he's gone.
I thought he got shot, but, you know.
Well, if he did, he healed pretty
quick.
Right,
he healed,
But we see that the Wolfman has kind of snuck back the other way, and he's backing up, and in classic werewolf fashion, falls through a hole.
All werewolves are clumsy. All, that's what I've come to understand. This is the fourth werewolf movie that we've done in a row. Werewolves are clumsy.
Where they fall through,
They just fall through a door. And then
they fall through things all the time.
All the time. All these movies.
So he falls down into the remains of Frankenstein's castle.
Yeah.
And there's snow all over the place on the ground. Snow and ice. And he's like rolling around in it like a puppy in the snow. I don't get what he was doing, but he looks playful.
Yeah, that was weird.
Yeah, it was very odd.
But I think he was just drunk the night before. Like really... Like Bela Lugosi, or not Bela Lugosi, Lon Chaney was.
Yeah.
And they're like, just...
Just do it.
Just cut.
You're fine.
Yeah. No, I'm just joking.
But I thought it was adorable, the Wolfman rolling around in the snow.
You thought it was adorable?
Yeah, he was like
he
a puppy.
He killed like a 12-year-old girl, and you think it's adorable?
He was rolling around in the snow like a puppy.
Okay.
Anyway,
where are your priorities? Get your pitchfork and let's go.
So the townspeople... capture Maleva, who is just hanging around.
Yeah.
She's like, me?
Me?
So they say they want to know, where's that guy who's with you? But she says nothing. Because if there's one thing Maleva knows, snitches get stitches.
Especially if you're a gypsy.
Maleva looks pretty hard, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, right?
She probably... has got some prison toughness.
About like all the characters, she's the moral center of it, really, kind of in a way. Yeah. Okay.
So Talbot wakes up in the snow, like in a little bit of like a running water, because it's melting or because like the water from the dam that that powers the hydroelectric turbines is starting. It's just kind of trickling through.
This is the first werewolf movie we've done where the person after they wolf out doesn't wake up nude. Like, they're not naked. And I thought that was odd because you're wolfing out. Most of the time, like, especially American Werewolf in Paris, like, he ends up nude in the middle of the whatever.
Yes.
But this doesn't happen in this movie.
No.
It just maybe a rip in his shirt or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he wakes up in the snow under the remains of the castle, and he sees something kind of lit up or glowing in the distance, and it's this thing of ice just in the wall.
Right, like a block of ice?
Yeah, so he starts wiping like the frost off of it, and inside we see the monster.
Yeah, we see Captain America. Oh, we're watching two different movies?
Oh, he was in the next room. They didn't. Oh. They leave him for later. But they see the monster... played by Bela Lugosi, of course. And he is frozen inside, but Talbot breaks him out.
Can I say just leave him?
Yeah. Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
But he's smashing this, like, it looked like ice, but it could have been, like, sugar glass or whatever it is. But he's breaking it, trying to get him dug out. And there's part of this where I swear... Bela Lugosi actually gets hit in the face.
Oh, probably.
Because he hits it, and it comes down really hard looking.
Yeah.
And when he, like, pulls the piece out of there, you can see where it landed across his face.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I don't know how heavy that was. If it was ice, that really probably freaking hurt.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know.
Is that why he didn't have any lines in this movie? He couldn't talk because ice hit him?
Probably his jaw was wired shut. No, he, of course, Bela Lugosi, consummate professional. So Talbot asks the monster to show him where Dr. Frankenstein kept his notes. Basically, he's hoping for the cure for the secrets of life and death. So there's...
Everyone's looking for a damn cure.
I know.
And not the Smiths in these movies.
There's really hardly anything left after the fire in the castle. So frustrated, Talbot kind of smashes some stuff. And when he does, he finds a picture of Baroness Elsa Frankenstein, who is Victor Frankenstein's daughter.
Daughter of Frankenstein.
Who's played by Ilona Massey. Talbot decides he needs to go find her. So the mayor cuts to a meeting with between the mayor meeting with Elsa.
Yeah.
And he says this person named Taylor has wanted to come and talk to you about buying your property. He wanted your address, but I wouldn't just give it to him because I'm not stupid. I'm not going to give out your address.
Right.
So it's like the mayor is very level-headed throughout this whole movie.
He really is level-headed.
Yeah,
isn't
he's pretty.
For
he's
a mayor.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. We'll call him cool, but yeah, sure.
He's pretty cool. I think he's cool. Mayor was.
No.
So turns out,
can we go back? I disagree that he's not cool.
Why?
I don't think he's cool. I like him because he's not cool. How about that?
You like him because he's not cool?
Yeah.
How about like when he was like, leave them alone. Don't bother them.
Whatever.
They're not hurting anybody.
Pitchforks, everyone.
So Taylor shows up, and it's actually Talbot, of course, stating, hey, you know, I set up this meeting to saying I wanted to buy your father's property, but I admit it, I lied. I just wanted to get together so I could talk with
her
you.
Her pants? Oh, no, records. Okay, he wants
it's
records.
Really like, if this would be something like today, I'd be like, get the hell out of there, get the hell
yeah.
out. Like, you're lying. And of course she's like,
yeah.
Well, you've gone this, given that you've gone
she
through this
says,
much trouble,
she
I'll
actually
hear
says,
you out.
Excuse me, Mr. yeah, right?
Yeah.
She says that. She says, Harvey, please don't touch me there. Oh, wait, no, she doesn't.
But no, like, she's like, well, that's really creepy, but since you've gone to this trouble.
Oh, yeah, that's creepy, but hey.
So he asks for her father's research, and she says she has none of it. But if she did know where it was, she would destroy it because nobody should get their hands on it. Just then, the Festival of the New Wine starts outside. So
but the mayor comes back in.
Yeah, the mayor comes back in and asks the Baroness and...
What is that music, she says.
Yeah, and asks the Baroness and Talbot to stay as their guests of honor.
Wait, can we go? So yeah. She says, it's the festival... Oh, that's the Festival of the Wine. And she goes, oh, that reminds me of my childhood. Now, can we go back to the Festival of Wine for a second?
Yes.
Can we just say... imagine the committee for the Festival of Wine.
Yeah.
Right? You just had a 12-year-old girl die in your village.
Right.
And you had a wolf, like just wolf kind of man running crazy. You have this heightenedness that you thought was the monster.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, let's continue with the Festival of
Yes.
Wine.
That's exactly what I said. They are they're in super high spirits, including that innkeeper. The Vassick or whatever, he just carried a dead kid down the street, and he's seriously sitting there with, like,
but you know,
swinging his beer
that
flag
wine,
back and
that
forth.
Festival of Wine happens every year, and we gotta do it.
Yeah. You better be put a little pep in your step, man.
I thought, what the hell is wrong with this committee?
Seriously, like, that's... I went... They're in good spirits, especially Vassick, considering the murdered child.
I know. Okay. But hey, everyone, let's get drunk on wine.
Yeah. So this guy is basically doing the song, which I think we're supposed to assume is improv, since he's, like, saying things about people who are standing there.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know. Maybe.
It has to be on the fly. But,
he eventually
says
goes over to them.
Yeah, he goes by Talbot and Elsa.
Yeah.
And he sings something about life being short, but saying something about how, like, with the wine you'll live eternally. Or
yeah,
with the
eternal.
Song, you'll win
he keeps singing eternally.
Yeah, and
Talbot gets
that
mad.
Causes Talbot to lose his marbles.
Worst blind date ever.
Yeah, he's basically telling them to stop singing, stop it, because, you know, who said anything about living forever? Why would you say that to me? And right about that time that he's losing it, Dr. Mannering shows up and says he's taking Talbot home. Of course... he wants to know how Mannering found him. Excuse me. And he says he's been following a trail. He's been following
like
the trail,
of,
and he's
of dead people.
Yeah, he has like this. He has, which I think is interesting because you know it wasn't just like a safe trip from here to there. He goes, there was this place and this right. place and right. this place. And I was like, to me, I was like, oh, my God, because you just realize those are dead people or attacks
right.
in each of those places.
And like, each one of those villages also had a festival that they were like, let's keep going with the festival. Yeah. No.
Except the one that had the werewolf festival.
Yeah.
And that was the only one that he's like, no.
Werewolf convention.
Testicle festival. He went through Nebraska.
So the doctor is there. Yep. I can help you.
So the doctor says, you know, hey, you know, the doctor at this point thinks he's still just crazy and that he's just killing because he's psychotic.
Because he's psychotic, yeah.
Yeah. So they have a serious conversation about him saying, like, look, I don't want to live forever. Like, I want to die. And, of course, while he's having this serious conversation about wanting to end his life, the wine festival, like, whimsical music is still going on in the background. So he's like, I want to die.
Hey, ho, the yeah. wine festival's going so, on.
So it's a very we odd are happy. Scene. But, of course, while they're talking, he says, you know, that's why I want to get my hand on Dr. Frankenstein's books, is because I need to understand how to end my life. But the innkeeper, the dickbag that he
damn
is.
Damn innkeeper.
Yeah, right? He's eavesdropping on them the whole time. Like, he's
not even
pretty
doing
shitty.
A good job eavesdropping, too.
No,
like,
he's
you're
just
not hiding
there.
Behind a plant or anything. You're no. just there.
So, eventually, the festival is interrupted. You hear two people screaming and running. And they're, like, in a full panic running.
Right.
And they're interrupted. Of course, it's the monster stumbling around.
Yes.
So he's just stumbling, not coming near anybody.
No.
He does nothing wrong. It's mostly just villagers panicking and, like, tripping over themselves and, like, smashing right. each other into things to get away. Like, they're the ones causing all the damage. But, of course, he gets close enough where Talbot comes over and calms him down, gets him into the cart. And then they get out of there. He basically flees.
Yeah, he knocks down all the wine off the... Yes. They're in a wagon.
Yeah,
knocks
so
down
it knocks all the barrels of wine.
Wine festival's ruined.
It's ruined.
This is one for the ages. This is normally how it ends,
you went, though. When you killed a kid before Frankenstein's monster, that was too much.
Yeah.
But this... Or that was one thing. But this wine, too much.
Too much.
Too much. So... The innkeeper calls for Elsa Frankenstein to be brought in while they hunt for the monster. Basically, they're coming after her because the innkeeper says she's a Frankenstein, and their whole family must be in on this.
Well, yeah.
And, of course, they bring Maleva back to the pub. Mannering recognizes her name. Of course, that sets the innkeeper off again because he says they're in on some conspiracy. And this is
where, like, I've enjoyed this movie up until now because it seems like now things are starting to rush a little too fast for me.
Yeah.
In the plot. Yeah. Like, you know what I mean? It's just like, let's bring.
I get you.
Yeah.
So, Elsa.
But I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. They want to go to the castle. And the mayor, who is the level headed one, says, well, it doesn't do you much good to go at nighttime. Like, did you not learn anything from the Dracula movies or any of that? You go when it's daytime. And they said, well, you know, Elsa Frankenstein can lead us around up there. Okay. So, but she offers eventually to take them to the castle.
Yeah. Whatever.
But then they basically convince them, just let us go up there. Let us go. And so Maleva, Dr. Mannering, and Elsa head up there, and they run into Talbot and the monster.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's by a fire and everything, and they say, hey, look, we've come to help you. Let's get y'all taken care of. Of course, we just get random shots of the monster shambling around.
Yeah.
When the party shows up, he draws back to hit them, but Talbot stops him, saying, hey, these are our friends. Don't hurt them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And so he just kind of backs off. Mannering examines the monster while Elsa gets Talbot the book. So it's in this, like, He looked in the safe before and nothing was there.
I've looked over there. It's not it's not there.
And so she crawls inside of it and pulls this other secret, like, little hook.
You think maybe he should have, like, looked for hooks?
He probably didn't know.
Yeah, well, whatever.
I mean, he'd be real thorough to find that.
That's true.
But she pulls it, and it opens, and his book is in there. So Mannery examines the book, which says the monster lives...
He just
lives.
Grabs that book out of her hand.
Yeah, he does.
Give it to me.
Mine. Yeah. So he examines the book, which says the monster lives because... all life and death is because of energy. You die when your energy runs out.
Pure energy.
Yeah, seems legit.
Pure energy.
And so the monster lives
pure
because
energy,
he's...
Pure energy.
The monster lives because he's supercharged with energy. So he can live like 100 lifetimes. So basically, though, you can stop him by transferring the energy out of him. Basically just reversing the poles. Like, where, you know, instead of having positive to positive and negative to negative, you hook positive to negative and negative to positive.
With like his, blowing
his,
up your
yeah,
car.
With his, when with his neck jumper cables.
Your jumper cables.
Yeah, right. So the Talbot wants them to do the same thing for him. He's not artificial, but they think they might be able to make that happen. So the group works to maintain the machines that are in the castle because that's what they need to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so now we get the sense that some time has passed because Maleva keeps coming down to the village to get supplies and like parts and things like that while they fix the machines. And the people are just kind of waiting. They're uneasy with whatever's going on up there.
And they keep thinking, the doctor's fixing the lab up.
Yeah, and they keep getting
nervous. He was working in the lab late one night, and the monsters became weary fright.
This actually is the first Monster Mash.
Yes, it is the first meetup. I know, that's why I'm singing it.
So basically they're nervous because they think that Elsa Frankenstein is doing something. They're like, oh, that doctor, maybe he's doing something wrong. They're afraid the work's going to pick up where it left off. So the innkeeper basically says, you know, that dam, that hydroelectric dam that's there that like they get their power from.
Oh yeah. I took all my damn pictures.
Was that on your damn tour?
Yeah, that was on my damn tour.
So the innkeeper basically says, you know what? I can blow that up.
Blow that damn up.
I can blow that damn
right.
Up. There'll be a damn explosion.
Yeah.
So he's going to blow it up and kill everyone in the castle. And the mayor is like, just leave them alone. They're not bothering anybody.
Right.
And again, he starts like saying, oh no, this is what we could do. And the mayor threatens to arrest him for threatening people if he even continues to talk about it. So we go back to the castle, and Mannery has really kind of become obsessed with Dr. Frankenstein's work. And, you know, Elsa's like, well, you know, I don't know if this is the right thing to do or not. You know, they want to die.
Yeah.
And Maleva actually says it's the right thing to do. He wants to die. Let him die. And so then Dr. Mannering turns the machine on, and it's actually pretty cool. Like it's a lot of flashing lights and spinning things, and like
yeah, that was
neon
actually pretty
lighting
cool.
Up. And there's like a almost like a what is that a Joshua's ladder or whatever it's called?
Jacob's ladder
or whatever. Yeah, the electric. The electric cage.
I saw
thing.
Tim Robbins right there.
you see it going off in the background. It's very cool. But, of course, Elsa warns him, like, not to become obsessed with power. She sees him looking at these machines and him becoming obsessed, much in the same way her father did. So the time now has come to end the Wolfman and the monster. And he has them all hooked up, ready to power them down. And Mannering starts reading the book again. And all of a sudden he says, I can't do this. I have to see the monster at its full power. And
yeah.
Elsa says,
let it go, let it go.
I think it's a different Elsa, but...
Oh, okay.
But she does tell him to let it go.
Yeah. She didn't sing it, but...
No,
yeah.
She didn't. But maybe if she would have, maybe she it would have ended early.
Yeah.
She could have saved everything if she sang it. The wine festival thing seemed to work well. So he basically switches all the chords back to the original way. And decides he's going to super juice the Frankenstein's monster basically up to its full power.
Mm-hmm.
So he hooks it up and he is charging him up. Elsa sees what he's doing. And of course you see like Bela Lugosi going like he looks like he's getting more powerful and crazier. Elsa sees
it's about the only time I was kind of okay with his acting in this movie.
Yeah.
For the most part he's not tremendous.
Right. Elsa sees what he's doing and stops the machine. Of course, that because she turns it off, whatever, it starts breaking parts of the machine and parts of the castle. So we see a bunch of stuff fall from the ceiling. But it's kind of too late at that point. The monster is starting to break out, so he rips out of his restraints.
And you mean like zits?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep, he starts getting real bad Franken acne.
Franken acne.
Which is where you break out with little metal bolts all over your skin.
I just was going to say that.
Not only is he busted loose and he's starting to come after them, but like where parts of the ceiling broke, you can see the full moon through it. So it's full moon time again, which we knew from earlier because Talbot was like, hey, we got to do this today. Yeah. Today we're screwed.
It's been 29 days. No, he didn't say that, but he's like, today's the day.
Yeah.
We got to do this.
And so.
Come on, Kevorkian, let's go.
So, of course, the villagers watch. From a distance, because they can see things flashing and hearing explosions. And they said, wait a minute, where's Vasek or whatever, the innkeeper? And they go, oh my god, he talked about blowing up the dam. And then we cut to Vasek laying the explosives, so he's going to do it anyway. He's such a dickbag. I hate that character.
Yeah, no, like, he is.
But
do you blame them for being a little concerned? I mean,
no, I don't blame him for being concerned, but man, he was a shitbag from the beginning.
Oh, he's pretty shitty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the monster starts going after Elsa and Mannering, and like he's breaking things and heading right towards them. Talbot transforms into the Wolfman.
Yeah.
And this is, I thought, was cool. So you just see him, like, run up, and he jumps on the monster's back and just takes him down a flight of stairs, basically.
Yeah.
So they're rolling down the stairs. Elsa and Mannering, that's their chance. They escape. So they flee. But there's this knockdown, drag-out fight between the Wolfman and the monster at this point. And I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah. I didn't like it as much.
Oh, I thought there were some parts.
I liked Lon Chaney better than or whoever the stunt person was for Lon Chaney.
Yes,
better than because he was jumping on things and moving.
Yeah, well, but that was part of the cool thing is you got to see he was fast but not as strong.
Right.
And the monster was kind of more lumbering, but when he got a hold of him, was much stronger.
Yeah, I guess.
I thought it was pretty cool. Like, they weren't evenly matched in all the same respects. But they had a good thing. Like, when Wolfman, seriously, when he jumps on his back and pulls him down the stairs, I thought that was a cool
I did too. I mean, there was aspects of it that I liked, but for the most part.
At one point,
they were rolling around a lot.
The rolling around thing is the one I was like, whatever.
I was like, come on.
There's this one part where the Wolfman jumps up onto this machine to get out of the way of the monster.
I actually liked it.
Yeah, to get out of the way of the monster swinging.
And he moved it.
And the monster grabs the machine and throws the whole machine with him on it.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. And he kind of like dives off the machine and he still hits the wall, but he like, you know, gets out of the way. And then they continue to fight. Wolfman gets hit a few times. You see him kind of fall back. He seems to be on the ropes. But just about then, the dam blows, and Wolfman basically jumps up into some sort of high, like, I couldn't tell if it was like some sort of a tunnel out, or if it was just like kind of a window, like a grate or something. But he gets up out of the monster's swing, at least. But right about then, the castle starts coming down because the water starts...
Because of that dam
explosion. The water just starts breaking through everything. Elsa and Mannering look on from safety, and of course we start seeing the water pouring through the dam and basically destroying the castle.
Okay, I must have been
writing
something because I didn't see that they were safe.
Yeah, they were. Yeah, they showed them in the distance kind of holding each other. So they're safe. The villagers gasp at the sight of the dam breaking. Which I was like, wouldn't that come towards you? But
yeah,
I guess
idiots.
Not. Yeah.
What about the gypsy?
I didn't see Maleva.
I didn't see her either.
Yeah. I'm sure she's safe.
I hope so.
But that is the end.
The end of the movie.
Very abruptly the end.
Abruptly the end of the movie.
Yes.
You've been deuced. Yeah. Parts of this movie I really, really, really liked.
Yeah.
And then parts of it, I was like, they just didn't hold up, which is fine because it's an old movie.
Yeah.
That's not saying that it's a bad movie at all. It's fine. It's a good horror movie.
Well, do you see, looking at this, the influence on a lot of other films?
Yeah.
So do I. And the funny thing is...
Yeah. But having said that, I don't think it's the best of these Universal monster movies.
Oh, no. I don't think so either. But...
I don't think it's the worst.
No. But when you look at it, too, though, you see the influence in things like that we even have today. But I would almost say I see things today where they go so nuts that I'm like, man, just a simple thing made me appreciate it so much more.
I agree. So that's what we thought of it. Let's hear what other people thought of the movie. Here are a couple of reviews. 10 out of 10 says Jacob John Taylor 1. This is a great horror movie. This is a sequel to The Ghost of Frankenstein. It is also a sequel to The Wolfman.
Oh.
This has a great storyline. It also has great acting. It has great special effects. It is very intense. It's one of the scariest movies ever.
What?
House of Frankenstein is better, but only by a little bite. I think he means bit, but whatever. See this movie. It is great. It is very scary. House of Dracula, which is the 7th Universal Frankenstein movie, also the 4th Universal Wolfman movie, is also better. This is the 5th Universal Frankenstein movie. It's also the 2nd Universal Wolfman movie. It is a must-see. The Wolfman is looking for Dr. Frankenstein to find out secrets of life and death. A gypsy woman from the first movie is helping. They find out the monster is not dead. Just inactive, and he walks up. Now the Wolfman must stop the Frankenstein monster for good. Thank you for giving me all that. That's what you wrote for your review?
And he was all over the board.
Sounded like the Bible there for a moment. This person and this is the fifth.
And this begat this.
Begat this? I was like, ugh, okay. This person gave it a 5 out of the 10. A tender. Which I don't know if that's swipe, up or whatever Tinder thing. Not one of the best in either series. So they say, I don't think it is good as I expected it would be. I thought it started off very well, but as the movie went on, I felt like something was missing from previous two movies. I didn't really like how the movie ended far too quick for me. It felt like they at least could have done a bit of aftermath. I was not impressed with the fight scene. I was looking forward to see, but guess nowadays it looks a bit tame. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
The acting in this movie was really good from the whole cast. I'm giving this a 5 out of 10. So that's not a bad review.
I get the points, too, of like, by today's standards, the fight was tame. But, back then it was pretty cool. I still think it's a pretty cool fight.
That's fine.
I've seen worse fight scenes.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. There's parts of it I liked.
Yes.
But
yeah,
I just felt like the last third of this movie was very rushed for me.
Yeah.
And
I
didn't like that aspect.
Yeah, I could see
that. It left much to be desired.
Yes, I would agree.
So I don't think I like this as much as you did.
I think... So my whole thing is, and I said this earlier, when I was younger, did not care for these. But now that I'm older, I do, because the Wolfman is somewhere between like this tragic hero.
Yeah.
Or this like anti-hero type character to me.
Yeah.
Like Lawrence Talbot is a good guy.
Yeah. Yeah. But he's a good guy.
Yeah.
But he's bad just caught in a bad situation.
Right. And so... that's the part where I'm like, oh, I wanted to see whatever happened with Talbot, or towards the end, more Talbot stuff.
I think I needed more Talbot, but then it got kind of convoluted with a bunch of Frankenstein stuff.
Well, he was just sleeping through that last whole section with the monster. Like, I see what Elsa is doing. I see what, you know, Mannering is doing. But those two are just knocked out.
Yeah.
I actually would have... It would have been cool to me if, when all of this was going on, if Talbot woke up, but he was couldn't do anything because he was strapped down.
Yeah.
Until the moon came out, and then he busts out. But it would have been cool, at least, because it could have seen him realizing he needed to transform and this movie to save somebody.
Like, it spawned those versus movies, like Freddy versus Jason and all those.
It's in that same vein.
It's in that same vein, but I kind of thought it should have been more of that. If you're going to have Frankenstein in there, make it like... them versus each other.
Think about, like, everybody who's like, ooh, what Marvel's doing is so, like...
Yeah. No, it's not.
I think, yeah, no, it's not unique. They've been doing this for... They did this forever ago.
Right. And it's unique nowadays.
Yes.
Because we didn't get to see it back in the Universal days. So. Yes. Five question time. That's my new theme song. Five question time.
All right, what do you think, in your opinion, what's the best part of the movie?
Lon Chaney was really good.
Yes.
I thought the doctor was really good. I enjoyed him. And I really love the gypsy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maleva.
And I love the beginning of this. The beginning of it really set a tone of spookiness.
Yeah.
That I don't think the ending followed through on.
I agree.
Do you know what I mean?
I would agree with that.
Like, I was like, wow, that's really good.
Yeah.
As far as tenseness and kind of gothic in a way, but it just didn't kind of, you know, manifest later on. It was more like, now it's a Frankenstein movie.
Yeah.
It just seemed odd.
Yeah. I would agree with you. I not so much with
this
the doctor.
Should be like this should be more of a thriller horror.
Yes, I agree. Yeah. Not so much with the doctor because he just seemed like Zeppo Marx to me. But the Lon Chaney Jr. I thought was great, and I love the way that he interacts with Maleva. I love the way their characters interact
because
it
like
seems
those
unlikely that they're you know that these would be travel companions,
right?
But they balance each other out character wise very well, I think.
Yeah.
And I love, I really have gotten a new appreciation for the Wolfman makeup.
Yeah. The Wolfman makeup. Yeah. I forgot to mention that. Yeah.
And for the day, the transformations were fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's good for... Obviously, we've come a long way with computer-generated images.
For me, the lighting felt like it was darker at the beginning, and then once we reached the village, it was lighter.
Yeah.
And I didn't like that. I wanted it to be more dark in the shadows.
Yes,
there was more shadows at the beginning.
I agree.
Again, be a thriller horror movie.
Yeah.
I would have been all over that.
Yes, I agree with you. And I know you didn't like it as much, but I did like the fight. The fight wasn't strong all the way through, but
there was this weird, odd section where they were rolling around and nothing really was going on for a good 30, 40 minutes, and I was like, come on.
Wasn't that 30, 40 minutes?
Oh, seconds, I mean, okay. 30 or 40 seconds. Sorry.
Like, what movie were you watching?
I don't know. It felt like it went on forever.
I enjoyed it. Like, and I thought that they were... the reason I like it is because it wasn't just two people who were like, wow, we're evenly matched. It was... They had different strengths. It reminds me of... And for comic book nerds, it'll be... I think this will ring true, but like... There are comics where they would have where the Hulk was fighting Spider-Man. And obviously, Spider-Man is no match.
No,
just
I get
up
why they
Hulk's
did it.
Brute strength, but he's faster and more agile, so he was... staying out of the way, or they have him, you know, kind of fighting him in different ways. It reminded me a lot of that.
I get that. And I get that that's what people want to, like, if you're going to put two of these monsters in a movie together, you want to see them battle.
Yes.
I get that. And I get that there was parts of it that I liked, but parts of that didn't work just really felt really too flat for me.
Yes. Well, let's go to the second question. Would reboot, continue, or cancel?
They tried to reboot it. Benicio del Toro.
Yes.
Movie with Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah.
Parts of that movie were okay.
Yeah.
A lot of it wasn't.
I agree.
Yeah. I think that they could. I guess they're trying to do this reboot thing. With I don't know about what's his face. I can't think of his name right now. Russell Crowe. Yeah. Isn't Russell Crowe supposed to be the Wolfman?
No. Who is he? He's Dr. Jekyll.
Oh, he's Dr. Jekyll. Oh, yeah. Who's the Wolfman?
I don't know.
I don't know. They need to get a really good Wolfman.
Yeah. Well, I thought that the Wolfman movie with Benicio del Toro was supposed to be the first in the line of these. And when it didn't have the same impact they wanted, they were like, no, scrap that. So then they did Dracula Untold, which was supposed to be the first in this line. And that one didn't have the impact they wanted. They're like, no, a do-over. And so then they had The Mummy.
I kind of want to see a really good version of The Wolfman, because I think the aesthetic of, like we said, this tragedy of this really good guy trapped in a bad situation, I think that could play well if done correctly.
Yeah. And I think, like...
So, reboot? I think I'm saying reboot.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just be careful with it.
Yeah. The one that came out with Del Toro, I think the thing that disappointed me most was it was just like, when I think of the Universal movies, these aren't gory.
Yeah, but that felt gory.
I think they were trying to be like, we're up in the gore.
Yeah, I agree.
I know you can get away with more, but also some of the things that are creepy in this movie is you don't show, you imply.
Right.
And we've talked about that with the movies. They got away with a lot of things about sex in these old movies because they implied it and left it to your imagination. And I like where
you're just holding a dead girl.
You see, you see the shadow of the Wolfman biting, ripping out the police officer's throat, but you don't actually see him doing it, and you see him drag it away. To me, that's much more effective than when you start going, oh, he's ripping limbs off and just blood is spraying everywhere. I'm like, whatever.
Yay. It becomes schlocky and not.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I think if they do it right, it'd be awesome.
So you're saying reboot?
I'd be okay with a reboot if they do it right.
Yeah.
Not like the Tom Cruise Mummy.
I don't know. We've never seen that. Mm. I'm not going to judge that.
I'm going to judge it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Do you think this movie stands on its own?
Yes.
You
because
do.
I think it gives you enough. I mean, he tells you the exposition, the guy, the crypt kind of gives you enough.
Yeah.
I think it does.
So I say no because.
And I say you're wrong.
From a Wolfman perspective, because there was only one movie before this, the exposition.
Right.
Takes
and
care
I don't give
Wolfman.
A fuck about. Well, excuse me. I don't give a fuck about Frankenstein because he's only in it for 6 minutes.
Right. But there are four movies of Frankenstein shit that you miss out on before. And I think that's my
I guess.
Because I don't get why he depowered. Why he's in a block of ice.
The first half of this movie does hold up on its own. The last part doesn't.
Agreed.
Okay.
Agreed. Does it make you want to see the first one?
I think it does.
Yeah.
I think I'd watch it. I've never seen the first one. I'm interested in it because is he not the Wolfman in the first one? They make it sound like he's not. And he gets bitten in the first one.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah, so he's not really the Wolfman in the first one.
He is. When he gets bitten, he turns into it.
Oh, so that happens earlier in the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'm in it.
Yeah.
I'm in it to win it.
Cool. Yeah, I would like to... Part of me wants to watch those Universal movie monsters. Mm-hmm. So, there actually was a Wolfman movie that came out before this series of them. But he looked almost like an ape or like a monkey-looking thing. And he wore like a Jack the Ripper-looking costume. And then they were like...
In a way, the beginning of it felt like Jack the Ripper to me.
It did.
And I was like, let's do that.
Yeah, right?
That's what I wanted. But maybe that's what the first one feels like.
Well, no, it was there was one that they did
okay
that was very much like It was almost like he wore like a suit and a cape kind of thing.
Okay.
But then they scrapped it and they started it over with this Lon Chaney version of them with the Talbot one.
Singing the Werewolves of London.
So this was like, this is actually, they started the Wolfman series over with the one that came before this one.
Okay.
So, but yeah, it does make me want to watch it. And the other, like, Universal, I almost want to see, like, all the first ones in the series at least.
Yeah, kind of. And maybe, like, The Invisible Man.
Yeah.
And some other ones.
I have an extra question.
Go ahead.
First off, let's talk about our two words.
Mine's monster mess. There was part of this that didn't connect with me. The first half I loved, the second half I didn't, and that's what I mean by I don't think this is a terrible movie.
Yeah,
I think it's a fine movie. I just think that, I don't know. For me, I'm like, if you're going to put the Frankenstein in it, I felt like at the end, the Frankenstein stuff, like, overshadowed
the
Wolfman stuff.
I agree.
And I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
For my two words, I said tragic hero.
Yeah. Yeah. You had another question that you were going to ask
me? Yeah. Which of the Universal movie monsters is your favorite?
This is the first Universal monster movie of the day.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched the reboots and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I'm not really much into this stuff, but this made me appreciate it a lot more. So I guess this is the only one I've watched. So I guess The Wolfman, I'm not really into. I don't know. Maybe if I watch Frankenstein, I think I'd enjoy that.
Yeah.
A lot better.
Obviously, like, it's had like five movies of lore up, you know, several movies worth of lore that is kind of like, where the hell is this going? You know, with the Frankenstein's monster. So, like, watching the first one, I think you'd appreciate it a lot more.
The first Frankenstein or Wolfman?
Yeah, Frankenstein.
I think I would, too.
Wolfman also.
I think if I watch Bride of Frankenstein, which is supposed to be probably the best, one of the best Universal movies, I think I'd enjoy that, too. Oh, I think I especially enjoyed because of, what's his face, The Gods and Monsters. I can't think of the director guy who directed Frankenstein.
Yeah, I've drawn a blank too.
Is it Whaley? James Whaley?
Sure.
Yeah, sure. There you go. Whatever.
Mine is The Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Okay. Yeah.
I think he does not get love.
Is that like your Aquaman? Like, he doesn't get love?
It's true.
Yeah, no.
Even in freaking Monster Squad. I go for the underdog.
I'm an underdog person.
He gets screwed in Monster Squad.
He does get screwed in Monster Squad. So, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if... I bet if I watched that, I probably would fall in love with that character.
Probably.
I probably would. Yeah, so my answer is... I don't know, Wolfman.
Wolfman is a really good one. As I've gotten older, I appreciate him so much
more. I always
cheer
for underdogs anyway, so yeah, you're right. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So you've been deuced on this episode.
There you go.
Episode 3-0.
The big 3-0.
3-0. 3-0. What are we doing next?
So next,
31 will be the crossover.
Will be the 31st episode. Will be on.
It's got to be an odd episode.
Yeah, it's going to be episode 5 of 5, and it's The Howling 2. Your sister's a werewolf. but this will be our crossover episode.
Yeah, with go ahead.
With the gentleman from Cinema PsyOps.
I heard they found Matt.
I think they did.
Yeah, he came out of wherever he was hiding. And
yeah. So we are going to be recording that. So on their episode, we're going to be doing The Howling. So they got that one, and then we get.
So we get The Howling 2?
Yes.
No, I've never seen any of these movies, but we get Howling 2. My sister is a werewolf.
Your sister's a werewolf.
Well, it doesn't matter. That just sounds ridiculous.
Somebody's sister's a werewolf.
Just the whole thing sounds ridiculous.
Oh, it's pretty ridiculous.
Okay, well, then we're going to have fun with that.
Yeah, it's good.
Where can people find us if they want to listen to this podcast?
Well, if you would
if they
like
want
to
subscribe, or if they want to Google Play, or if they want to rate us on iTunes and give us a 5-star review.
I think you just basically covered all of it.
Oh, go ahead.
You can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com. iTunes.
Rate us. Five stars.
Five stars. iTunes.
Five stars.
Stitcher.
Five stars.
Google Play Music.
Whatever. Four stars on there.
Or, of course, go to our Facebook page. We have fun things that we put up there. You can talk about the movies. You know, we'll put little sneak previews of things up there. And you can find some of our other friends' podcasts as well, friends of the show. So that'll go up there. But before we sign off, too, I just want to also point out. So we actually... there's no music at the end of this movie. It's basically just like a dun 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 dun. The end. And so you know how we like to play. We always try to play the outro music for you of these movies. Like whatever their outro song is, that is what we play. So since we don't have that, we are going to play you the song from the Festival of Wine, a Festival of New Wine. So we hope you enjoy that.
We hope you do. That committee needs to be fired. And remember, the sequel is king.
With me, that may they ever happy be, and may they live eternally. Baro, 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 come on and all and sing a song. Baro, la, baro, for life is short, but death is long. Baro,
eternally. Why did you say that to me? Get away from me! Stay away! Go away, all of you! Let me alone!